Good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, and I'm coming to you today on Sunday morning, January the 25th, 2026. I'm coming to you by recording because, as you are well aware, we are snowed in and we are not able to be here for Sunday school or for church services this morning. Sort of doubt we'll be here for services tonight, but I wanted to come to you today and just thank you for being part of the Conqueror Sunday School class. Can you believe that we are now only 11 months away from Christmas 2026? As of today, January the 25th, we're only 11 months away. And it seems as if the new year just began. My dad used to tell me all the time when I got older that time would really fly by. So how can someone as young as me seem to be getting so old so quickly? I just don't understand it. But, you know, there is one thing about it all, folks. God is still good, and our Savior is still upon His throne in heaven, and I'm thankful that you're able to be with us this morning for this lesson. You know, the psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, he said, "I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And in verse 26, he writes, "He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Now, last week, I shared a part of a poem written by missionary evangelist C.T. Studd. But today, I want to share the whole poem with you, and here it is. It's entitled, "Only One Life." And this was written by missionary evangelist Charles Thomas C.T. Studd. Here's what it says. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave, and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, Thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing Thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for Thee and Thee alone, bringing Thee pleasure on Thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last." Oh, that each of us would take these thoughts to heart and determine that we're going to serve God with our whole heart starting today. Folks, time is slipping away, and we must do what God has saved us to do. God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us in this Conqueror Sunday School class recording this morning. I thank you for being a part of the class today. And I want to wish a happy birthday to the folks that we have in our bulletin. Sandra Dietz today, let's see here, on January the 26th, would be her birthday. And then Brother Irvin Kibler, he's going to be celebrating his birthday on the 28th of January. So let's wish these folks a happy birthday. I will eat your candy bar for you today in class. And then maybe you can get one next week. But I hope to see you next week. We sure miss you being here today. But we want to wish you a happy birthday coming up this week. Now, I don't have any anniversaries listed for the week. But if there is one that I have missed, please email me or call me and let me know, and I'll make sure that we get that in the bulletin for next Sunday. All right? All right. Well, today being Sunday, January the 25th, 2026, I know we're not able to be together in the Sunday school class because of the snow and the fact that we're just not able to be here today. It wasn't safe to be on the roads. And I want to go ahead and finish out this lesson. We began now 3 Sundays ago. This will be part number 3 of lesson 6 entitled Controversy and Confrontation. We're in the series entitled In the Beginning Was the Word. And we're in John chapter number 5. We started there in John chapter 5 verse 1. And we're going through John chapter 6 verse 71. And today's lesson theme verse is, as it has been for the last 2 previous Sundays, where Jesus said here in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, today, as we look at this lesson, I'm going to be looking at section number 2. And if you are there on your computer, you can actually print out the outline of the lesson today, and you can go through that with us. In the previous 2 Sundays, we've looked at point number 1 in our lesson series here, the controversy in Jerusalem, the miracle of the impotent man. We saw also the message that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we want to begin with section number 2, entitled The Confrontation in Galilee. And this is where we find out about the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle. Now look at it here, part number A, the feeding of the 5,000. Here in chapter 6 of the book of John, Jesus is going back to Galilee where he feeds 5,000 men. And verses 1 through 15. And this is where we see the setting for the miracle. Now, the sign was described here in verses 10 through 13. And the significance of the sign is seen in verses 14 and 15. And since Jesus was able to feed thousands, even as Moses had done, this proved to the people that Jesus really was who he said he was. And then we see here the miracle of Jesus in the midst of the storm. Jesus in the midst of the storm. Now, here in verses 16 through 21, I'm not going to have time to read all of these verses today, but I want to get you through this so that we can finish out this particular lesson. In verses 16 through 21, Jesus is seen by his disciples walking in the midst of the troubled seas. And they're comforted by his display of power over the very forces of nature itself. And again, this is where we see the setting for the miracle in verses 16 through 18. Now in verses 16 through 18, I do want to read those here to you this morning. And I'm going to open it up here to chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And I want you to see what the exact setting was here. What was happening when these men saw Jesus on the water and they saw him coming out like that? You can imagine how scared they must have been. But here in verses 16 through 18, John chapter number 6, the Bible said, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not with them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Can you imagine seeing Jesus walking across that sea? The storm is raging around them. Everything around them is just in turmoil. And here comes Jesus walking through the midst of the storm. Boy, that's my Savior, amen? He's the one that can do all things. So this is the setting we have for this miracle. Now, I want you to see the sign as it's described here in verse number 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Wow, that was the sign, Jesus walking on the water. But I want you to also see the significance of the sign or this miracle in verses 20 and 21. Look at what happens here. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately, think about this now, immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, if you look up here, there in verse number 19, they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, which is about 3 miles, 3.5, 3.75 miles out into the sea, and they see Jesus walking on the water. But when they let Jesus into the ship, this is where the miracle, the significance of the miracle takes place, and they are immediately at the land where they were wanting to go. Wow, can you imagine that? Good grief. That must have been a frightening thing to see. And Jesus told them there, when they were so afraid, Jesus looked at them and said, It is I. Be not afraid. You know, this is the great I am. And Jesus is the great I am. Oh, thank God for that today. Now, look in verses 22 through 25. The ship in which Jesus and his disciples were in while the stormy storm miraculously arrives at shore. We see this in verse number 21, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, Jesus knew why the people were following him. He knew that. They had been hungry. He had fed 5,000 plus with the food that he gave to them. Jesus had fed them, and yet they wanted more. But Jesus wanted them to have more than just a satisfied stomach. Amen? He wanted them to have a satisfied soul. So in John chapter 6 here, verses 25 through 26, we read, And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So in verses 26 through 71, Jesus is found teaching the people who followed after him. And he's teaching them some truths that were essential to their obtaining eternal life rather than simply giving them a full stomach. You see, God's desire is that people have eternal life, the bread of life. Not just the bread for the body, not just for the stomach to be filled from its growling and its emptiness, but God wants that spiritual hunger to be appeased. And the only way that that spiritual hunger could be appeased is by taking in the bread of life. So in verses 22 through 71, we see Jesus' message to the people here. And in verses 26 through 40, we see his revelation. Now, I want you to see this morning, his revelation. Jesus begins here by telling them that they don't need to be as much concerned for the physical food that only appeases the flesh for a small amount of time as they do for spiritual food that satisfies the soul for eternity. You know, John chapter 6, verse 27 reminds us, Jesus said here, he said, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." They then ask Jesus in verse 28, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus tells them in verse 29, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who hath sent me," whom he has sent. You see, God's desire is for people to be saved, to be saved. And look at verses 30 and 31. They again began to beg for a sign to prove who he was, even as Moses proved himself in the desert by feeding the people with manna. They wanted Jesus to prove who he was. But look at what Jesus said in verses 32 and 33. Jesus tells them that God had given them the bread from heaven that gives eternal life. Look at verse 32 and 33. John chapter 6. "Then Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And in verse 34 we read, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." And you know, this is where the real confrontation begins. As Jesus gives them the truth that they will not be willing to accept. It's sad. When we watch our world today, folks are not willing to accept truth, are they? And it was the same way in Jesus' day. Jesus gave them truth. He reminded them that he was the bread of life. But they didn't want that. They wanted something of their own. So here in John chapter 6 now, verses 35 through 40, we read this. "And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Boy, aren't you glad for that today? Amen. I'm so glad that when I came to Jesus, he didn't cast me away. Amen. And look what else he said. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Folks, this is what God sent his Son into the world to do, was to make the way possible for all men, women, boys, and girls to come to know Christ as their Savior, to be able to take the bread of life and have eternal, everlasting life with the Lord God. And Jesus again identifies himself here as the great I Am in verse number 35. He described himself as the bread of life, and that whoever will come to him, believing on him to be that giver of eternal life, would never hunger, and they would never again thirst spiritually. Amen. Isn't that great? And although they had seen the miracles and had partaken of the physical reality of God's love for them through Christ Jesus, many still chose not to believe on him for their spiritual needs. You know, every week here, we get food calls. We get calls from people wanting money. They want all kinds of things. And many of them call and they say, "We don't have any money. We don't have any groceries. Can you help us? Can you bring us some food?" And we always say, "Yes, we'll be willing to do that." And food calls are where people only want the food, but they'll not give us an address. Sometimes they won't give us an address to take it to because they don't want that spiritual food that satisfies the soul. we've got a kind of a testimony here at this church. And folks know that if anybody from here brings you some physical food, you're going to get to hear the message of the gospel, which is the spiritual food that you want also. And sadly, a lot of these folks choose to live in their sin with a full belly rather than to take a chance of hearing the gospel message so that they might gain an opportunity to hear the gospel and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the eternal, soul-satisfying bread of eternal life. And you know, that's a sad thing. But you know what? Many times we have folks that call and they say, yes, could you bring me that food? We take that food to them and they not only take the physical food and we put it up on their shelves or put it up on the cabinet or the table there, but they'll sit down with us and they'll allow us to share the message of the gospel with them and they take in the spiritual food. Amen? They get saved. We've had folks come to church, their sons and their daughters ride the bus to church. And oh, thank God for that. You see, Moses' bread only provided physical life and sustenance. But Jesus, Jesus is the living bread of life, amen, that gives eternal, everlasting life to anyone and everyone who will come to Him and simply believe. And you know, here in verse number 40, Jesus said, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life." Boy, that sounds like 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, where the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And man, that's what God's desire is for every person today. But in verses 41 through 59, we see Jesus' rebuke to the people. You see, these Jews grumbled because they chose not to believe. And in chapter 6, verse 41, the Bible said, "The Jews then murmured at Him, because He said, 'I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven.'" You see, they only saw Jesus as a man, not as God in the flesh, and not as the giver of eternal life, everlasting life. John 6:42 said, "And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven?' But then Jesus teaches them that no man can come unto Him unless he is drawn of God," in verses 43 through 46. And in verse 47, Jesus teaches them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Amen? Aren't you glad of that today? Praise God for that everlasting life. Then in verses 48 through 59, Jesus tries to bring together what happened with Moses' feeding of the people in the wilderness, as well as what happened at the first Passover before they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage. You see, these people needed to understand that it was Jehovah God who had sent the manna in the wilderness to sustain them physically. And it was Jehovah God who had sent Jesus into the world as the bread of life to sustain them spiritually. And see, folks get this all mixed up. They don't understand. It was like Nicodemus. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? He had it all confused. He had it all misunderstood. And Jesus is trying to show them the difference between the physical bread of life and the eternal spiritual bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, since it was time for the Passover there in Jerusalem, Jesus tried to paint them a picture. He tried to relate to them how the people, by faith, ate of that sacrificial lamb and how they, by faith, applied the blood of that lamb to the doorpost and to the lintels of their home so that the wrath of God would pass over them at midnight. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, they were to accept the sacrificed body of Jesus as well as the blood that would be shed as their spiritual sustenance unto eternal life. And just as the people in Moses' day believed God's word for their physical salvation, so now Jesus is trying to help them understand that whoever would believe God's promise and receive the sacrificial offering of Jesus' flesh and his blood would have eternal, everlasting life. So where he's talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, there's spiritual applications to believing on Jesus for eternal life. And that's seen there in verse 47, and it's seen again in verse 54. Look at what he said. Jesus told him in chapter 6, verse 47, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And again, in verse 54, go down just a few verses, he tells them again, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you see what the picture is that Jesus is trying to show them, but they refused to see it? So here, Jesus is having to rebuke them. He's having to scold the people and help them to understand what he's really saying. But then lastly, in verses 60 through 71, we see Jesus' reminder to the people. Now, many of those folks who had been following Jesus for the sake of signs and wonders and miracles, they now begin to be offended because Jesus spoke to them about spiritual matters. You know, I see that a lot of times. Man, you can talk to folks about anything until you start talking about spiritual matters, and then they get offended. They get upset because they don't want to hear or to apply truth to their spiritual lives. They only want your help for them physically speaking. So here Jesus reminded them that many of those who followed him were only hungry for the physical things that Jesus provided, and who in all reality only desired what would benefit them in the physical realm. It made them feel good to be physically healed and physically fed. It made them feel good that Jesus would put the hypocritical Jewish leaders to shame. But you see, Jesus came to be more than some magical genie in a bottle and to grant everybody's wishes. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, Jesus told the people, he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And again, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, Jesus told the people, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Jesus reminded them here that he knew exactly who really believed him to be the Son of God and who did not. Look at verse 64. Jesus said, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Boy, you know what? That's a strong statement. But I want you to think about this. Even though he knew those that would not believe him, and even though he knew who would betray him, he still chose to love them. Aren't you glad today that when we were lost and in our sin and we were on our way to a devil's hell, God still chose to love us? Amen. And you know, here Jesus also reminded them in verse 65 that it was God and God alone who would truly draw them to himself. It was God and God alone that would do that. You know, people saying, "I'll get saved when I'm ready," instead of when God is convicting them, me to be saved. "I'll get saved whenever I get ready." Folks, that's not the way it happens. If you turn away the Spirit of God and you reject him, there's coming a point in your life where it may be your last opportunity for the Spirit to draw you unto the Lord. And if God doesn't draw you through that Spirit, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be converted. No conviction, no conversion. You see, the sad thing is, in verse 66 here, the Bible says, "From that time, many of his disciples," those folks that were following after him, "they went back and they walked no more with him. Oh, how many folks go through my mind as I read this verse and I think about folks that have gotten offended about something at church, or something that somebody has said, or something that they knew they ought to be doing but they chose not to do it. And when the pastor talked to them about it and tried to help them to see the need to do what was right, they chose not to do it. And they left this church offended. And they're still not serving God today. They're not happy in the Lord. Why? Because they're not walking anymore with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they could not change Jesus' way of thinking. So they chose to just simply abandon him and go on somewhere else, seeking other ways to satisfy their longings. But folks, I'm telling you, if you don't walk with Jesus, your longings, that void will never be filled. And oh, how sad that instead of allowing the mirror of God's Word to change them, these people simply chose to change the mirror and walk away. But you know, thank God for the true believers, as we see here in verses 67 through 69. After Jesus looks at the 12, he asked them the same thing in verse 66. He said, "Will ye also go away?" Now I want you to read here with me, John chapter 6, verses 67 through 69. "Then saith Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And as they're looking at one another, the Bible said, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, thank God for that testimony that Simon Peter gave. These disciples had seen with their own eyes, but they had believed with their hearts that Jesus truly was and is and always shall be the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And while Jesus records here in verses 70 and 71 that it was Judas Iscariot that would later betray him, Jesus reminds them that he came to die for people like Judas as well. Look at it with me here, verses 70 and 71. "Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. "For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12." So folks, let me ask you something today. Have you come to that point in your life when you, as did Simon Peter, realize that there is nowhere else to go? There's no one else that can feed your hungry soul like Jesus. Amen. Does the truth still cause controversy in our world today? Yes, it does. Does the truth still cause confrontations all around us today? Oh, yes, man. It surely does. But you know what? Acceptance of truth yields something that nothing else can. It yields eternal, everlasting life and a right relationship with God through His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus today? Amen. Yes, there's going to be controversy. And yes, there's going to be confrontation. But I'm so glad that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, man, He takes care of all those things. He gives us peace. He gives us strength in the midst of the storm. And I'm thankful for that today. Now listen, let me ask you something. Do you know the Jesus of John's gospel today? Now I'm not sure who all's listening to this lesson. I'm hoping there are a lot of folks from the Conqueror Sunday School class, but there may be other people that are listening to it today. My question is, do you know the Jesus of John's gospel? Is He your Lord and Savior today? Have you placed your faith and trust in the crucified one today? Well, let me ask you, if not, why not? And if not, why don't you do that today? Listen, are you believing on Jesus as your means for eternal life, or Are you just simply believing that God exists and that Jesus was a good man without really knowing Him as your Savior? Listen, to see and to believe makes all the difference in your eternity. So I guess my question to you today would be, what will you do with Jesus? When the controversy comes, and when the confrontation comes, what will you do for Jesus? Are you using God like a spare tire? Or are you allowing Him to be your all-weather tire today? Folks, listen. We need to just determine we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for Him. We're going to trust His Word. And we're going to do what He says we ought to do. Amen? We're going to trust Him today. And I want you to know that. Listen, our song today was Set My Soul Afire. And I hope that will be your desire today, to set your soul afire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to thank you for being here today and being with us through this recording of this third part of our lesson entitled Controversy and Confrontation. This will finish up lesson number 6 next Sunday. We'll begin lesson number 7. And I'm hoping and praying that we can be able to be here for that one in person, because that will be the first Sunday in February, and we look forward to seeing you there. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this lesson today. I hope that you'll take it to heart, and you'll trust the Lord in all that you do. Father, thank you, dear God, for this time that we've had together. I pray, Lord, that the lesson will be a help to your people. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those that have birthdays this week and anyone that I may have missed that has an anniversary. Lord, I didn't see any this week, but I pray, dear God, if there is anyone, that you would bless them as well. Watch over our church family. Lord, keep everybody safe during this snowstorm that we're experiencing right now. I pray, dear God, that you'll bring us all back together on the next Sunday. And Lord, we look forward to seeing everyone then. Thank you, dear God, for being our strength, for being the bread of life that gives eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. We love you, and we thank you, God, today for just giving us that eternal life that satisfies the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we love you, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless, and we'll hope to see you then.